So anyway, Katie.
Yes.
How was Show West?
Show West was a good time.
What? How many movies did you see at Show West?
I lost some money in Vegas. Is that what you want to hear about?
No. How many movies did you see at Show West?
I think, counting Indie Night, which was a lot of movies that have kind of been elsewhere, I saw, I think, 5. But in terms of, like, big premieres, I saw 3.
And those were, I'm guessing...
No. Okay, sorry. Here, let me count them. I'll count properly. Prince of Persia, Toy Story 3, which was unfinished, Kick-Ass, and... God, I got... Oh, Letters to Juliet, the Summit Entertainment romantic comedy.
Okay, so what did you... And you're allowed to talk about them, right?
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to review them, but I'm allowed to, like, react to them. And then...
Yeah,
again,
what's the difference there? I don't really get that.
I have no idea. I mean, I can't get in there and be like, this, you know, here is how Prince of Persia works overall is... I don't know. I don't really know.
I guess. Well, since no one's really going to listen to this anyway,
yeah,
it's fine.
If Disney doesn't find out about this, it doesn't matter.
Well, I really want to know what you thought of Prince of Persia.
I thought Prince of Persia was kind of a bore. Like, it's very fancy and pretty and has all this fight scenes, but from my limited knowledge of video games, it seems to me that a lot of them will, like, open up with a couple minutes of someone explaining to you the character, here's what you have to do, and here's your mission, and here's where you are, and here is the tools that help you get there, right? Like, isn't that how video games work a lot of the time?
Yeah, that's true.
So it's kind of like that, but a movie. Like, every 20 minutes, someone else comes on screen to be like, and here is the temple where the sand will go into the sands of time, and you... whatever the guy's name is, you must go to this temple with these, your companions. And it happens over and over again. And it gets kind of tedious on that level. And like even if the action is good, you just don't really care about it at that point.
I was going to say, how is the action?
It's pretty good. There's the opening scene. There's like this opening castle siege. That's pretty good. But then from there, it's kind of a lot of, like, he's got this dagger that sends him back in time, but he doesn't use it that much. And you never really know when he's going to or how or if he really understands how to use it. And, you know, it looks good, but it's fast cut action. And
oh, really?
Apparently, there's a lot more parkour in the video game, and there wasn't that much parkour.
Gotcha.
And I really like parkour.
So it
didn't have, like, a spark to it. It didn't have any, like, that kind of energy that would make a standard summer movie fun to watch. Like, I know you get hell for defending the Mummy 3. I also enjoyed Mummy 3. I think Mummy 3 is better than this.
Whoa, man.
I know.
That is harsh.
I know. I mean, Mummy 3 was so goofy and so dumb, but it had, like, energy to it. And Prince of Persia just felt kind of flat.
That is very disappointing to hear.
Yeah, I mean, so these guys are going to remember this, and then come back and be like, that was so much worse than Mummy 3, or that was so much better than Mummy 3. So.
To be clear, I thought Mummy 3 was not a good movie. Let me just put that out there.
No, I also agree Mummy 3 was not a good movie, but I was entertained by it. Is that how you
talk about it? Well, that's very dismaying, because I was really looking forward to Mike Newell actually making a good video game movie, but looks like it's not the case. It's not to be.
Yeah, I don't play enough video games to really get the whole... like, to really get into why video game movies don't work. But this one, it just felt kind of like a series of challenges on your way somewhere. And it felt kind of rote in that way. Which I guess video games don't feel like that when you're playing them, because they're actually fun to play. And also, Jake Gyllenhaal with a British accent playing in Persian is stupid.
Well, I heard they actually had a good explanation for why he's white in the movie.
Yeah, well, he's not technically
I don't want to hear it. I want to be surprised by what the explanation is.
Isn't that in the video game? It's like the backstory of the character.
I haven't played the video game, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember them explicitly saying anything about race, but I don't know. Maybe. It might have been there in the beginning and I just missed it. But it's still just kind of silly. The fact that he has a British accent and he's with Hema Archerton, who also, she's like the queen of the rival country, and she also has a British accent, and Ben Kingsley has a British accent. You know, it's that standard Hollywood thing where anyone in a foreign country is British.
Nice. Well, yeah. I want to also ask, so basically hearing you talk about it, it sounds pretty meh.
Yeah, I would not see it again. But I mean, I wouldn't tell. It's opening against Sex and the City 2, and I think Sex and the City 2 could beat it. Honestly.
Wow. So is your impression that this movie is going to make a lot of money? That's the question.
I really don't know. It's really hard to gauge. Because, I mean, looking at Box Office Mojo, like, Iron Man 2 comes out a couple weeks before, so it'll have a fair amount of space to play in.
Right.
But then, I mean, it's got, like, the losers around it. It's got the A-Team around it. It just seems like any of them being funny would be more entertaining than this. Because it's kind of, like, it's got a lot of, like, moments of humor, but they feel kind of shoved in.
Gotcha. So it could end up being a huge failure, but...
It really could, and it's hard. I really have a hard time predicting giant flops, so I don't really know. But
so you also saw Toy Story 3, I assume.
Yeah, I did see Toy Story 3.
Okay, so I don't want to hear any plot details at all.
Okay.
But everyone keeps saying the last 30 minutes is incredible.
Yeah, the end is really great. And very, like, and daring for Toy Story. Not daring for Pixar, but for Toy Story, it's a really interesting direction to take it.
Interesting. Okay, well, let me ask you this question. This is a very basic question. I know what you're going to say, but which is a better film, Toy Story 3 or How to Train Your Dragon?
Ooh. Oh, man. They're actually... I don't know. That's really tough.
Wow, really? Okay, now I'm encouraged, because here's the thing I mean, How to Train Your Dragon, I loved it, and I'm going to tell everyone... I'm going to get as many people into the theater to see it this weekend as I humanly can. But I thought the storytelling and the sort of plot elements of it were really generic, just done really well. Like it's something I knew exactly how that movie would end. Basically, like the main beats, I knew exactly how it ended. Like
you're right.
In. It sounds like that's not the case for Toy Story 3.
It's not, but I expect more from Pixar, and that's totally unfair. It's really unfair to have higher standards from studio to studio. But Pixar, I mean, the last three movies they've made have been genius.
Right.
And for Toy Story 3, I thought, because, you know, the first two Toy Stories, I think, are really solid movies, but I don't think they're anything close to what came after.
Uh-huh.
And I was really kind of hoping for Toy Story 3 to, like, really reach that level, like, take the original Toy Story stuff and leap beyond it. And it felt like it really stuck more. It belongs very close to Toy Story 1 and 2, which is fine, but it wasn't as spectacular as I was hoping for.
Now, how was the 3D? Because, okay, here's the thing, right?
It wasn't in 3D.
It was not?
No, they had not completed it. 3D, so it was, we saw it in 2D.
Because I was going to say the 3D in How to Train Your Dragon is literally the most impressive use of 3D in a film that I've ever seen in my whole life. Like,
yeah,
and
I really need to see it in 3D. I'm pretty bummed I didn't.
I include Avatar in that list. Like, the flying scenes are just unbelievable in 3D, and so.
And how do they compare to the flying scenes in Avatar?
I'm saying like. The way they shoot, quote unquote, shoot those flying scenes is in third, like they shoot it from the third person perspective a lot of time, which Avatar doesn't do that much.
Yeah, that's true.
And because of they do it that way, like it's just so, it feels like you are actually moving at like 500 miles per hour.
Yeah, I mean, it feels that way, honestly, in 2D. Like those flying scenes are fantastic in 2D.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to check it out in 3D. So, but Toy Story 3, it was really good. But
it's very good. I would not hesitate in telling anyone to go see it. But I think I really love the original stories that Pixar comes up with. And I feel like the original ideas they have are above much of what anyone does anywhere in any style of movie making. And I kind of still wish they would have done something original instead, even though the way that they wrap up the Toy Story franchise is really excellent.
And does this feel like an ending to you? Like there's not going to be a
Toy
Story
4? It's definitely an ending. Because they all get incinerated at the end.
I was about to say, do they all die? Do all the toys get completely destroyed at the end? But don't tell me.
They all get their heads chopped off. It's the French Revolution, actually.
I don't want to know. And was this your first time?
Very much like a conclusion. But then, so did Indiana Jones 4.
Was this your first time watching Kick-Ass?
Yes, I'd never seen Kick-Ass.
And what did you think of that?
I thought it was great. It wasn't perfect, and I feel like it could have been like a perfect movie. Because there's so many parts of it are really, really perfect. But overall, I mean, it's as entertaining as a movie as you could hope to see.
They
brought in a bunch of, like, I don't know where they got these kids from, but they brought in young people to come see it with all the exhibitors at Show West. So it wouldn't just be like a bunch of old white men, like, you know, politely clapping for this movie. And they really loved it. Like, it's such a crowd pleaser.
I'm going to make a gross overgeneralization for a moment, if I may. Let me ask you this, Katie. You are what I would describe as a really cool geek female journalist, right?
I don't know if I qualify as geek, but I'll go with it. Like, I don't know anything about comic books.
Yeah, but you enjoyed, like, you know, all the...
I enjoy movies.
Yeah, you. But I mean, you enjoy, like, comic book movies, right?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy romantic comedies? Let me ask you that.
Good ones, yeah. I only enjoy them if they are good, though.
I'm basically wondering how Kick-Ass, with its, like, sort of ultra over-the-top ultra-violence, like, highly stylized ultra-violence, is going to make the transition to mainstream. And in particular, I wonder if, like, certain audiences will find the gore too much to enjoy.
So you've seen it, right? Yeah, you saw it a couple weeks ago.
Correct, yeah.
I don't think it's that gory. Like, there's not...
It's pretty brutal.
There's blood, but it's cartoony blood.
I don't know. I there's a lot of blood in it. People get killed in pretty brutal ways.
They do.
One person gets exploded from the inside.
If I ever had to, like, cover my eyes or anything.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case,
like, I covered my eyes in Law Abiding Citizen because I didn't want to watch the torture scene.
Gotcha.
And there's nothing that really equaled that.
Gotcha. So you think it'll be totally fine? You think? I mean, I have a feeling this thing could be a mega hit. Like,
yeah, I do too. I think it could be a huge hit.
So, and
like,
you,
it's not as violent as The Dark Knight.
I really disagree with you, Katie. Like,
really?
I think, yeah. I mean, just the opening scene where we're introduced to Hit Girl, like, this, it's really violent.
Yeah, but like, I mean, think like The Dark Knight. You've got real people in peril getting killed like that, and in Kick-Ass, it's all cartoony villains getting their legs chopped off. You know, it's not. It doesn't feel nearly as visceral as scenes like the pencil scene in The Dark Knight.
It's not
the visual violence, it's the effect of the violence. It's like the emotional violence that it puts on you.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I feel like if I saw that movie at a younger, more impressionable age, I'm talking about myself, I'm not talking about other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like myself, like, I would have found it pretty violent. Like,
huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be like, oh, haha, I get what they're trying to do. It's like comic book style, and they're very self-consciously doing it ultra-violent. I don't know. I just feel like it walks that line. I don't think it's as, like, over-the-top as, say, a movie like... I want to say Ninja Assassin, but that movie kind of sucked, so... You know,
hilarious,
like...
I think the only real violent thing scene I can think of is Kick-Ass's first trip out to fight crime. You know what I'm talking about?
Really? Because that was the, like, most, like, quote-unquote realistic scene?
Yeah. And it doesn't end well for him, we can say that much.
Ty Rules in the chat room says Chen was a very immature child. I'm just saying, like, I'm making an argument that I think that the violence in Kick-Ass might not be as clearly sort of over the top and fake and in some ways a commentary on comic book violence as people think it is.
I don't know that it's a commentary, but I think it is fake in a way that makes you feel safer with it.
Some scenes, yes, and some scenes, no. Like, yeah, and I'm trying to even think of what scenes are yes. Like, let's just say this. I wouldn't want my kids to... if my kid was under, let's say, 13, I wouldn't want my kid to watch it.
Yeah, but it's rated R.
Yeah, I know, but you know kids are going to go to this thing in droves. Like,
yeah, I mean, and there's been discussion of whether or not the marketing's too aimed toward kids. Like, if it makes it seem like...
Yeah,
like a Spy Kids thing or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, if this movie makes Watchmen money, it'll be a gigantic hit.
Watchmen
and Watchmen
money?
Was rated R, and I don't think it's as violent as this. Or I think this is less violent than Watchmen.
Watchmen made... How much money did Watchmen make? Not that much, I don't think. Certainly less than 200.
Yeah, but this cost $30 million to make.
$107 million. And actually, the budget for this is closer to 50.
Really?
Yeah. But if it does make $100 million, then I think it'll be a sound investment on the part of the people. Yeah.
Watchmen only made $107 million. Wow.
Yeah. Like, it started off great.
Mm-hmm.
It made a $50 million opening weekend, but then slowed down dramatically after, I'm guessing... not great word of mouth got out.
Yeah.
You know?
But, I mean, Kick-Ass will have great word of mouth.
Exactly.
It already does.
Exactly. So.
I can't imagine, like, anyone I know, and, you know, a lot of my friends aren't into comic book movies, but, you know, the same friends I have who went to go see Iron Man with me on opening weekend because we heard it was great would go see Kick-Ass and really enjoy it.
Now, did you see the Clash of the Titans, like, 3D demonstration as well?
Yeah. That was in the Warner Brothers demonstration.
And what'd you think of it?
I mean, the 3D looked awful.
Wow.
Like, really? I would never tell anyone to pay extra to see it in 3D.
Wow.
Like, I think the movie might be fun. Like, the what they showed is like a them fighting a scorpion. And I haven't seen the original Clash of the Titans, and I think that's in the original. So I don't know exactly what I'm talking about, but the fight scene was really fun to watch, but the 3D just added nothing. It just looked really flat. And like, it kind of, you know how you can get kind of after images in 3D where something moves really fast and kind of it has a little trail behind it. Yeah. Like your eye can't quite catch like up. There's a lot of that
blur type of deal.
Yeah. Because they didn't shoot it for 3D. So right. It made the action really hard to follow. I had the same problem in Alice in Wonderland.
You know, what's really disappointing to me is that, and I'm going to write about this at slashfilm.com actually, is that the How to Train Your Dragon is getting squeezed on both sides. Like, Alice in Wonderland is still doing gangbusters business, and now Clash of the Titans is coming out, and studio, like, movie theaters are probably going to place their bets with Clash of the Titans.
With Clash of the Titans, yeah.
You know, they're not going to say, oh, let's keep these theaters, these 3D theaters for How to Train Your Dragon. They're going to say, no, let's move this to Clash of the Titans.
Yeah,
that's really sad because, A, apparently, according to you and Peter, the 3D is terrible, and B, mm-hmm. I'm guessing that How to Train Your Dragon is a superior film to Clash of the Titans, just judging based on Letterier's filmography.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah, I mean, I think How to Train Your Dragon is likely going to be much more like cohesive because it's an animated movie and they work on that for a long time and it's, you know, all got all that stuff going for it. I think Clash of the Titans could be a lot of fun, but it's not worthy of the 3D screens from what I've seen.
Yeah, and it's really upsetting to me. And, you know, I was listening to KCRW. They pointed out the ultimate irony in this is that it was Jeffrey Katzenberg who was the one that was, like, you know, the prophet for for 3D. He was the. It's very likely that without Katzenberg, like, 3D might not be as widespread as it is today.
Yeah, he was at Show West last year talking about 3D because Avatar hadn't come out yet and everyone was still kind of on the fence.
And now it's his film that's the one that's getting squeezed by the glut of 3D movies.
Yeah.
Really sad.
But hey, How to Train Your Dragon will play for a really long time, even on 2D screens.
Really?
Like,
yes, you're right, on 2D screens, but I honestly don't think, like, I saw it in 3D and 2D, and I don't think you should see it in 2D. Like,
no, I mean, but I saw it in 3D and really enjoyed it. And I think people, there's not a comparable kids movie coming out forever.
You saw it in 2D, you're saying, right?
Yeah, I saw it in 2D, and I really liked it in 2D.
Yeah.
And yeah, the next kids movie coming out is Furry Vengeance at the end of April.
I think you forgot Kick-Ass in there.
Yeah, the candy-colored children's movie Kick-Ass that all of your five-year-olds will enjoy. I think kids movies play for a long time, and it won't make as much money as it would in 3D, but it'll make its money.
I hope you're right, Katie. Did you see anything else in Show West that is worth talking? First of all, how dare you think that this was not interesting to me and other people?
I don't know.
Because
it was so long ago. I caught a day of South by Southwest in between, so I feel kind of warped.
Just so people, like, I had to talk for a long time to convince Katie to talk to me at all. She's like, I don't think anything I have to say is interesting. It's like, dude, you've seen Toy Story 3. And freaking Clash of the Titans 3D footage. It's like, you know.
It's true.
I'm sure a lot of people.
I also saw Letters to Juliet. So, yeah. I mean, that movie's exactly what you think it is. It's not actually worth talking about. But I did see. Did you see The Kids Are Right at Sundance?
No, I didn't. That's the Mark Ruffalo movie, right?
Yeah. I saw it again at Show West because I loved it so much. And I loved it again the second time. And I'm really excited for other people to see it.
Does it have distribution? It does, apparently.
Yeah,
if you saw it at Show West, it's got it, right?
Yeah, well, it was. I mean, they have Independent Night on the first on Monday night when everyone gets there, and they showed The Square, which is an Australian like film noir, which I also saw and is really good. What else did they show? They saw The Joneses, which is a Magnolia. They showed 12, that Sundance hit.
Did you see? Oh yeah, you were with me in the theater.
Yeah, that was the best press screening I've ever been to.
Yeah.
They do indies on that night, but yeah, The Kids Are Right is fantastic. And, I'm really interested to see how that Oscar campaign is going to go. Cause it's got two lead actress performances.
Interesting.
People who tune in to hear about Toy Story 3 do not care about The Kids Are Right.
Anything else? I don't know why people tuned in because I said we're not going to be talking about anything in particular. Let me, but thank you guys for tuning in. There's like 67 people in the chat room, which
you are a brand name,
which is remarkable. Anything else in the last week that you've done that is worth discussing? Not even film related, just in general.
Well, I mean, back to film related and Warner Brothers, they showed footage from Harry Potter 7.
And how was that?
Awesome. It was so awesome. I mean, I'm a big Harry Potter fan, so it doesn't take much to sell me. And, you know, what was really interesting is they showed some of the effect shots that weren't done. And they started the whole thing with, you've read Harry Potter 7, right?
No, I don't know how it ends.
What?
So tell me.
Really?
I haven't read any of the Harry Potter books. So.
Okay.
But so, I have seen every single Harry Potter film, so.
Okay. What? Oh, man, you're just, oh, God, if you like the movies, why not read the books?
I didn't actually like the movies that much. Like, I watched it as a part of a project for Slash Film.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah. But you know that the books are way better than the movies.
Apparently. But I can't finish all the books. I can't read the entire series of books in one day. Like, I can't watch the movies.
Nor should you have watched the entire series of movies in one day.
I mean, I didn't, but it's physically possible.
Please don't anyone do this at home.
Yeah.
You should read the books. And so I'll describe the scene in Harry Potter 7 without spoiling it. There is a scene in which Harry and Lord Voldemort come face to face. And it happens near the end of the book. And anyone who's read the book will know what I'm talking about. And they hadn't finished the effects work on Ralph Fiennes. So he's there and he's in his full makeup. He's got no hair. He, you know, big shadows under his eyes. But there are dots on his face that show where the digital manipulation will occur.
Right.
And it was so cool to see him perform without that digital manipulation. Because, you know, Lord Voldemort has no nose. So they had to take, you know, Ralph Fiennes had his whole nose
right,
on there.
Right.
So that was really cool to see that. And then, you know, they showed all these various clips. There's a scene where there are seven Harry Potters that people who have read the book know about. And that looked, they showed like a brief glimpse of that.
Did it look like the Burly Brawl in Matrix Reloaded?
Have I seen Matrix Reloaded? I didn't. Man. Was that the second or third Matrix?
That's the second Matrix.
Okay. Yeah. I saw the second.
Every now and then, Katie, I'm reminded of like how you came to this profession late to the game.
If I'm I was in college and taking film classes and seeing other movies.
I was in college waiting 2 hours in line for seats because I had already bought the tickets 2 weeks earlier for Matrix Reloaded.
I waited in line. So Reloaded was the second one, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, I saw that one at midnight. I went. I was really into it. And then it was bad, so I didn't see the third one.
Lick Chan says, you didn't read the Harry Potter books? You didn't watch Matrix Reloaded? What is this?
No, I read the Harry Potter books. Dave didn't read the Harry Potter books.
Yeah, I'm saying collectively between the two of us, we suck as geeks.
Oh, between the two of us, yeah. No, I mean, there are plenty of geek staples. I don't feel like I've missed much by not remembering much about the second and third Matrix movies.
So the Harry Potter footage got you really psyched for...
Totally psyched. Everyone in the room was also totally psyched. But, you know, the thing is the Harry Potter movies always look fantastic and the problems can come in the movies themselves when they just drag... Or they don't make any sense
right.
because of the way that the movies work. So who knows? But I'm just excited to have more Harry Potter.
Now, was there anything else cool that you saw, Chois? I saw apparently Michael Bay had some words to say about 3D Upcom version. Did you see that?
No, that wasn't at Show West. He wasn't at Show West.
Oh, my bad.
I saw what he said, but that wasn't there.
Okay. Anything else?
Showed the trailer for Due Date, which looks hilarious.
What is that again?
That's the one with Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis.
Uh-huh.
And it's directed by the director of The Hangover. And it's basically Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but...
No. Oh, hey! Apparently, Todd Phillips, the director of The Hangover...
He reads my site.
...read your review and likes Cinema Blend.
Yeah, that was really weird because I can't figure out what I would have written in my review that he would remember because I, you know, was positive about it like everyone else was.
Well, congratulations. That's awesome, Katie.
Yeah, it was cool. It was very, very surreal. And the video is online if anyone wants to see me, like, I don't even remember what I said.
Well, apparently...
And, like, Robert Downey Jr. standing there like, please stop with the flattery. Let us get done with this press line. So I felt kind of bad for holding him up.
But that's awesome that happened to you.
Yeah, and I sat behind Zach Galifianakis at the Warner Brothers presentation. It was kind of like watching him watch himself.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, they mention The Hangover every 5 minutes, at least. Because it was such a gigantic hit. And it's funny to be in there and see like clips of The Hangover coming up all the time and being sitting behind one of the stars of it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, that was just, you know, he didn't do anything in particular. It was just
funny. Like the least anticipated hit of all time, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you can just see Warner Brothers looking at Due Date and like salivating, like hoping so hard that it's the same thing.
It's so interesting to me, like what, you know, the sort of trajectory of R-rated comedies, because you have films like The Hangover, which I think made, what, $300 million domestic?
It's insane amounts of money.
And then you have like movies like... And the thing is, The Hangover did not have any big stars, right? At the time, Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, and Zach Galifianakis. I mean, they're household names now. Yeah. But when the film came out, was it last summer, right?
Yep.
I mean, June 5th of 2009, it's not like everyone knew who Zach Galifianakis was.
No, right? No. But he was all anyone could talk about after they saw the movie.
Right. So it's kind of... but then you have movies like... What is it? There's a movie that came out recently called College. Right, August of 2008, College is kind of gross out.
I do not remember this movie.
Yeah. So this movie came out in 2008, rated R, and it has no stars in it again. And it's about like college life, and it grossed the production budget $7 million. Right, so people were like, "Oh man, this is so cheap to produce. We're gonna earn back our money easily on this thing." Total domestic gross $4.7 million.
Yeah.
So I guess it's kind of a gravitation towards like the R-rated comedy, like less the American Pie. I guess the people that one could say grew up with American Pie. I mean, even the people that grew up with American Pie aren't really old enough to be in the 30s crowd that most of whom were the people that enjoyed The Hangover. So it just feels like R-rated comedies are gravitating towards like an older audience.
Yeah. Well, and I think that makes them better. Almost like it makes them.
Who wants to see a bunch of college kids get toasted? Like maybe if you're in college, it's amusing. Maybe if you're in high school, it's amusing. But if you're like in your 30s and 40s, it's not going to be that amusing. You know, like to see a bunch of college kids get drunk and getting into crazy adventures.
Yeah, that's almost true. Like you see grown men doing, and it's funnier because they're acting like fools.
Exactly.
You know, like the whole paging Dr. Faggot thing in The Hangover, which. You know, normally homophobic jokes do not make me laugh at all, but that line makes me laugh every time because it's such a play on like the immature adults thing.
Yeah. I wonder, do you remember at Sundance we saw a movie called High School, which took place in high school? What did you think of that movie?
I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. But again, I feel like for the same reasons. I mean, have we seen a successful hit set in a high school recently that's not based on a pre-existing property? And so that's why, you know, therefore not Diary of a Wimpy Kid I'm thinking of.
Oh yeah. Well, you know what wasn't a hit but was really funny? Did you ever see Sex Drive?
I did see Sex Drive. I actually interviewed, that was Clark Duke was one of the first interviews I ever did in my life.
Yeah, he stole that movie too.
But that movie also did horribly.
No, it did horribly, but it was actually good. I mean, I know we're talking about different things.
I would agree with that, but
you don't think it was funny?
Sex Drive, domestic production budget $19 million. Again, very modestly budgeted. Yeah. So it's like it doesn't need to do that well to be a hit, and $8.4 million gross.
Yeah,
total. So yeah,
you know what's the common thread with The Hangover and Wedding Crashers and 40-Year-Old Virgin though? These huge grossing R-rated comedies is they're really good, and Superbad too. Like they're well written, they're funny.
Yeah, Superbad's like the exception to that. I guess
it's about high school.
To the high school rule. I don't know. I don't even know if it's a rule. You know, like based on observation,
tend to be stupider because they assume that their audience is stupider.
Exactly.
But these comedies that do really well, like that. I mean, the fact you know, you look at the 2009 high grossers, and it's all these you know sequels and giant movies. But The Hangover is just a well written original story, and that gives me so much hope for you know people wanting to make more well written original stories.
Right.
And Due Date's an original story, even though it's basically Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So yeah, I the more movies like The Hangover that do well, the happier I'll be.
I can agree with that. Any other thoughts? I think we have like a minute and a half left until this audio boo expires. And I'm already gonna we have a minute and a half left.
So. I saw Four Lions at South by Southwest, and it was great.
Oh man, well apparently it's getting distribution in the UK, so I cannot wait to see it. Four Lions is a film by Chris Morris, a collaborator with Armando Iannucci, who is responsible for The Thick of It and In the Loop.
Yeah, so. It's got very much the same kind of In the Loop sense of humor.
Yeah,
and I loved In the Loop, and Four Lions is really funny and absurd. And I saw it with a bunch of movie bloggers who I was very excited to catch up with in Texas.
Excellent.
But that's all. And then we all ate barbecue before that.
And how was that? It looked pretty greasy.
I felt pretty ill after, but it was fun. It was really fun. And rural Texas is its own place.
Very cool. Well, Katie, tell people how they can find more of your work on the internet this week.
You can find me on Twitter at Katie Rich, K-A-T-E-Y-R-I-C-H. And I also write for CinemaBlend.com.
Well, Katie, thanks for chatting with me. I'm gonna stop.
This was fun.
I'm going to stop this recording now. Here, stick around. I'm going to stop this recording now, though, because we've reached our limit here.